Hello and welcome to the Balanced Wealth Podcast. My name is Gavin DeStasi and today we're going to talk about tax filing status. The U.S. tax system is complex and one of the critical decisions taxpayers must make is choosing the most advantageous filing status. Your filing status determines not only your tax liability but also eligibility for various tax credits and deductions. There are five primary IRS tax filing statuses: single, married filing jointly, married filing separately, head of household, and qualifying widow or widower with dependent child. Each status has its pros and cons, and selecting the right one can significantly impact your financial situation. So today we're going to look at each tax filing status, highlighting their advantages and disadvantages, and talk about some additional considerations when choosing which to use when filing your taxes. Please keep in mind that we're not tax professionals and anything we talk about today is for informational purposes only. You should always confirm any tax decisions and the potential implications with your tax professional before making any choices regarding your taxes. Now, for most of us, filing status isn't something we spend a whole lot of time thinking about, and for good reason. If you're single, you're probably filing as single, and if you're married, it's quite likely you're just clicking the married filing jointly box, and that's as it should be for the most part. However, there are some instances where looking at other statuses is potentially worthwhile, and particularly for those going through a divorce or having recently become divorced, this decision may be more acute. The first status is single. As it sounds, the single filing status is the simplest and most common. It applies to individuals who are not married, legally separated, or widowed. Some of the pros associated with the single filing status are simplicity. Filing as single is straightforward and does not involve complex calculations or considerations related to a spouse's income. Independence, you have full control over your tax return, again, without the need to coordinate with a spouse. And finally, single taxpayers may be eligible for certain tax credits, such as the Earned Income Tax Credit, which can provide significant financial benefits. Some of the cons for filing single include higher tax rates. Single taxpayers often face higher tax rates compared to married couples filing jointly with similar incomes. There are limits to some deductions and credits, and a few that are just less favorable for single filers. And obviously, you cannot take advantage of certain tax benefits available to married couples, such as a spousal IRA contribution deduction. Next, we have married filing jointly. Now, married filing jointly is the most common filing status for married couples. It allows spouses to combine their incomes and deductions on a single tax return. Pros for married filing jointly include lower tax rates. Married couples filing jointly often enjoy lower tax rates and a wider tax bracket compared to single filers. Joint filers have access to a broader range of deductions and credits and higher income limits for certain other deductions. And while single is generally the most simple status to file for an individual, filing jointly can also simplify the tax process in that it involves a single tax return for the entire household. Some cons associated with married filing jointly include joint liability. Since both spouses are jointly liable for any taxes owed, it means that if one spouse underreports income or owes taxes, the other spouse is equally responsible. There's a loss of independence, as filing jointly requires cooperation and agreement between spouses, which may not be ideal in situations of financial disagreement or particularly in divorce proceedings. And potential loss of benefits, as some means-tested benefits or credits may be reduced or eliminated due to the combined income of both spouses. Here's an additional consideration on married filing jointly for couples going through a divorce. It's essential to maintain clear communication regarding tax matters, as jointly filed tax returns must accurately reflect both spouses' income and deductions. So if there are concerns about tax liabilities or disputes over income deductions, things can get messy very quickly, and the IRS is not going to be terribly sympathetic to mistakes made simply because a couple is divorcing. Now, moving on, we have married filing separately. This is an option for married couples who choose, for whatever reason, to file separate tax returns. Each spouse reports their income, deductions, and credits independently, and the pros here include separate tax liability. Since each spouse's tax liability is separate, it can protect one spouse from being held responsible for the other's tax debts. Privacy. Spouses can keep their financial information separate, which may be desirable in situations where one spouse does not want the other to have access to their financial data. And in some cases, spouses may choose to file separately to gain eligibility for certain deductions. Some deductions, such as medical expenses, may have a lower threshold for married filing separately status. Cons to married filing separately include higher tax rates. Since rates for married filing separately are generally less favorable than those for married filing jointly, which can result in a higher overall tax liability for the couple. Now, a quick note here about divorcing couples. While most divorcing couples would like to maintain financial independence through the process, higher rates often lead to couples choosing to continue to file jointly to save money. However, this trade-off needs to be carefully considered, since the trust and ability to cooperate that's needed to take on tax liability for one another may have been eroded during the divorce process. Another con for married filing separately can be limited eligibility for certain credits. Some tax credits, such as the Earned Income Tax Credit and the Child and Dependent Care Credit, are not available to married filing separately filers. And there can be coordination challenges, since filing separately may require more coordination between spouses when determining who claims certain deductions and credits, such as child-related expenses. Next up, we have head of household. The head of household filing status is available to unmarried or legally separated individuals who provide a home for a qualifying dependent, such as a child or a relative. This status offers unique tax benefits, including lower tax rates, as head of household filers generally benefit from the lowest tax rates of all the filing statuses. The standard deduction for head of household is more substantial than that for single filers, reducing taxable income. And head of household filers may be eligible for certain tax credits, such as the child tax credit and the earned income tax credit. The main argument against filing head of household is the more stringent criteria you must meet related to dependents and household expenses that's needed to qualify. Essentially, you must provide a home for a qualifying dependent, and in the case of children in joint custody, you'll need to establish that you provide care for more than 50% of the time. A consideration for divorcing couples in regards to filing head of household. There are a few rare cases where it could be possible for both parents to file as head of household in the same tax year. For example, if there's two children, one child spends 51% of the year with one parent, and the second child spends 51% of the year with the other parent, both parents may be able to file as head of household in the same tax year. If you feel like you and your ex-spouse qualify for this exception, you'll need to keep very careful records, though, of where the children spend their days and nights throughout the year. One best practice is to keep a child custody log, because there's a decent chance that both parents filing as head of household post-divorce is going to trigger an audit by the IRS. But there is nothing guaranteeing that a child custody log in itself will satisfy the IRS in the event of an audit. The IRS could request additional information to determine that the 51% time requirement was met by each parent. Finally, that brings us to qualifying widow or widower with dependent child, which is a filing status available to surviving spouses for 2 years following the death of their spouse, provided they have a dependent child. This status offers certain benefits such as lower tax rates, since qualifying widows or widowers can enjoy the same lower tax rates as married filing jointly for the 2 years following their spouse's death, as well as access to certain deductions and credits which surviving spouses can continue to take. Now, as I mentioned before, for most of us, the decision of which filing status to use is a no-brainer. But in certain circumstances, it's wise to know your options. And as always, if you're unsure or have any questions about which way to go, consulting a qualified tax pro is always the best course of action. The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. This program should not be construed as financial, legal, or estate planning advice. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Please remember, investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital, and seek advice from a licensed professional. Topel & DeStossi Wealth Management, LLC is a registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Topel & DeStossi Wealth Management, LLC and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by Topel & DeStossi Wealth Management, LLC unless a client service agreement is in place.